As you know, we've been doing a series about how it's all about God. And last week we talked about the eternal nature of God. And today I'm going to talk about how God does not change. So let's think about that principle for a minute or two. That everything changes, nothing stays the same, except for God. Everything changes, nothing stays the same, except for God. And you can think about that, I suppose, in regards to, that's what the Lord is saying. Make sure you make that note. It'll be song number 940, Only a Step, is the song of invitation. Some things never change. No, I'm sorry. Nah, they change. They change. Everything changes. I was thinking about travel, for example. You know, you can think about horseback travel. Way back in the 1700s, not that I'm that old, but George Washington, I read, would travel from Virginia to Washington, D.C. by horseback, of course, and it would take him 10 days of traveling at a speed of 25 miles per day. Talk about a slow ride, you know. But then along comes 1981 with the first space shuttle, and when it launched, it traveled at 25,000 miles an hour. Talk about fast. You ever had that ride, your G-forces are going to make you shake like you wouldn't believe. Hypothetically, picture if we had a plane that could stay together at that speed without disintegrating. You could travel from San Francisco to New York City in 8 minutes. That would be pretty fast. Then, you know, there's technology. I mean, I love the fact that I have a phone with a computer that is more powerful than computers that used to be the size of this auditorium. Medicine, science, there's so much more. Again, everything changes. Nothing stays the same except for God. And again, while we could try to compare and contrast centuries of changes, I don't know. We would see again that everything changes. Nothing stays the same and except for God. But what about ourselves? I think that's a good example to think about. It might also touch on some subjects of today. If you think about your own personal being, our bodies go through constant change. We all start out as microscopic, right? And grow to our full size within a couple of decades. Some of us keep growing, though, but in different ways, okay? But then, after that first couple of decades, depending upon your birth-assigned gender and your structure and genetics, you know, you actually stop growing and you start to actually decline. I don't know, but and I'll just admit that when I was about 20, I started going thin. It's still going. So, I mean, we kind of know this fact, right? And so, for the rest of our lives, you know, we're no longer growing and developing. We're on an eventual decline that will lead where all things lead, and that's death. But again, that's because everything changes. Nothing stays the same, and except for God. And, you know, we can think about relationships within our families. You know, I was an only child when I grew up, and my dad died when I was 16, so then it was just me and my mom, and after my mom passed away, it was just me. But then I met Megumi, and Thomas came along, and Timothy, and Momo. Yeah, I count my dog as a part of our family. Why? Because she costs more than all of them, I think. But anyway, but then I don't expect them all to live with me forever. I mean, it would be nice, but I know that's not a reality because I know that everything changes. Nothing stays the same except for God. You know, we can go on and talk about all kinds of things, businesses, politics. I was looking around trying to figure out where some buildings once were before. I keep noticing this building over near Carl's Jr. and Jim Boy's Taco. I think, what was in that building? I found an old picture. It was a Blockbuster. I thought, Blockbuster? That takes you back, you know? Anyway, you know, politics, whatever it is. But again, everything changes. Nothing stays the same except for God. And I've been saying that a number of times because I think it's important for us to understand that, because it's a powerful truth that helps us to deal with life both right now and spiritually. The fact that God's nature never changes. Now, we can talk about the fact that God never changes. And when we do that, if you have a copy of the bulletin, you'll see an article that talks about the immutability of God. And the immutability of God is just a way to say that God is unchanging or unchangeable. Immutable, unchangeable, anyway. And so God's immutability means that God does not change in any way. And that includes God's purposes, his power, his perception, his perfection. And that's because God is perfect, right? You know, God always is and was and always will be. God is always wise. He's always sovereign. He's always good. He's always just. He's always holy. There's a lot of other always. But again, God is. He always is. And he always is what God is. Follow that one. And we can see this truth, though, that's shared over and over again in the scriptures. And there's a lot that we could look at. I just have a few. And again, these are all in your sermon notes. But over in 1 Samuel chapter 15, for example, and this came to mind because we are looking at the life of David on Wednesday nights. But this is an example of where Samuel is talking to Saul about God. And Samuel says, "He who is the glory of Israel," talking about God, "does not lie or change his mind." And why is that? "For he is not a man that he should change his mind." We change our mind all the time. God does not change his mind. And we'll talk more about that in a minute for those who think he does. Or Malachi. Malachi is an interesting thing. Don't look at Malachi too much. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. There, through Malachi, we're told that I, the Lord, do not change. And from our scripture reading over in James chapter 1, but just verse 17, James reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And speaking of that eternal, immutable nature of God, looking at the Psalms again, which is a real rich book, really, full of a lot of great theology. I don't know if you thought about that. I mean, besides Isaiah, Psalms is the source of messianic prophecies, but also talks a whole lot about God's eternal nature, like we talked about this week, God's glory, like we talked about in the past, and of course, even the fact that God does not change. Psalm 102 in verses 25 through 27 declares that in the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them and they will be discarded. But you, again, talking about God, remain the same and your years will never end. So again, that's a psalm that speaks of the eternal nature of God. Of course, the fact that God does not change. And over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, we read about how the God's immutable nature extends to his Son. And the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now, again, I know that's a lot to take in all at once, so let's stop for a moment or two and think about what all that means. First of all, because God is immutable, God's character does not change. And that means that God is not fickle in his feelings or prone to mood swings. And we know people who are a little fickle sometimes and prone to mood swings. So God never has bad days or good days. And that means that he doesn't go ahead and make decisions or judgments or speak based upon emotion. Could you imagine if God was like someone having a really bad day? It's like, well, we're going to get rid of them now. Boom, you know. Or God does not act that way, okay? God is completely and always consistent with himself. He doesn't make decisions or speak or act based upon mood swings or attitudes, okay? And while God is like that, again, we're not exactly like that, are we? We all tend to change in our attitude toward others based often the way we feel. And so a person might be grumpy in the morning, friendly at noon, grumpy again in the evening. I don't know. One minute they might promise to keep a secret and then turn around and share it. You know, folks like that, you know. And we sometimes feel betrayed when that happens, unless you share the secret knowing it's going to get passed along anyway. But, you know, like me, you've probably been disappointed by those that we really trusted. And, well, they let us down because, again, they didn't live up to our expectations. But God is not like you and me, and that's a good thing, okay? I think too many times when people try to imagine God, they picture themselves. Or sometimes we talk about picturing our fathers. I don't know if that's a good idea to really do, because God is not a man that he changes, you see? God is not going to lash out. God's not really going to. And it's nice to kind of imagine these things sometimes, but when we do that, sometimes we rob God of his true nature and character. God is not like you and me, because the character of God does not change. And that means, you know, again, the character of God is today and always will be exactly what it was. And that's really an important thing, again, for us to understand about God, because unlike things that do change, often for the sake of change or whatever, you know, cultural norm is in fashion, God is completely consistent and immutable, therefore absolutely reliable. And that's important because that builds upon everything we're going to look at today. God's nature never changes. And because God is immutable, God's word never changes. Unlike some people who like to think that God's word is flexible and changes as our society changes. That's not how it's supposed to work. God's word is supposed to influence the world, not the other way around. Okay? The Psalms really seem to be a go-to place, again, to find the assurance of God's immutable nature and the unchanging nature of his word. And we could probably read all of Psalm 119, but that's the longest psalm, of course, in the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, though, in verse 89, reminds us of this truth concerning God's word, that God's word is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Okay. And, you know, we can find the proof that God's word never changes again over and over again in the scriptures. But sadly, you know, we can also find proof that both you and me have trouble going back and maybe changing things that we once said or thought or wrote. And sometimes that's good, but that's very much a cultural thing right now, isn't it? You know, you've heard about people who maybe are running for political office and they might have done something 20 stinking years ago because someone is able to go back and find a digital trail and they have to apologize for it. Well, God doesn't need to apologize for anything he said or did 20, 30, or millions of years ago. Not millions, thousands of years ago, okay? As a matter of fact, we usually pride ourselves on the fact that, you know, we have changed from the things that we once said or wrote a few years ago. And that's a good thing, because prayerfully we've all matured some, you know, over the years. But God is and was and always will be again. And so when God speaks the truth back in the time of Adam and Eve, it's the same truth when he spoke to David, and the same truth when Jesus walked the earth, and it's the same truth now. It never changes. God is never in error. He doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't have to be sorry for anything or take back anything that he wrote. So there, all you PC people. And that's because, like Isaiah says over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. God's word never changes, right? Again, connected to all that, the fact that God is immutable and his word never changes is the fact that God's promises never change. And then again, that only sort of, that follows logically, right? God doesn't change, his word doesn't change. And so if God makes a promise and that is in his word, then it's not going to change. God is going to keep it. Again, when it comes to you and me, maybe, we're not always so good at that. You know, we promise to be at certain places at certain times, but we find reasons not to be there. People make promises to do things, and they sort of never manage to get done. You know, we promise our significant other to be with them till death, but their people will still end up divorced. And we come up with all kinds of excuses to break our promises. But God never makes an excuse. Never, not once. Nope. And that's because he never has to, because God always keeps his promises. For example, when it came time to settle the promised land, note the name of the land. It is the promised land. It was promised. They got there. What do you know about that? Anyway, Joshua records for us in Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45 that not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Not one was not fulfilled. They were all fulfilled. Okay. And again, that's true not only of God's old covenant promises, but also of all of his promises. Because again, going to the Psalm, Psalm 71 verse 22 reminds us that, speaking about God, you are faithful to your promises. And so when it comes time for Jesus to return, God said, Jesus is going to come back. And sure, we don't know when. People have been waiting for centuries. But guess what? God promised it. It's going to happen. His promises come true. His promises never change. So you better be ready. Okay? All right. God is immutable. His word and promises never change. And God's purposes never change. But again, you and me, well, we like to brag about flexibility, and really, that can be a good thing in many ways. We change our plans frequently. You know, never mind that we have maybe a set of goals for the day or this list that we need to maintain. Things happen. So again, sometimes it's really good to be flexible. But there are a lot of things that we purpose to do that if we don't do them, that would be bad, okay? For example, going to work and making a living and providing for the family that you have. That would be bad if you stopped doing that, all right? Being the parent of the child, for the children that you have, that would be bad if you stopped doing that, right? Or maybe you stop, committing yourself to your spouse or whatever you purpose to do. That's bad, okay? It's all bad. But God's purposes never changed. Again, the psalmist says it this way over in Psalm 33 and verse 11, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. And so there's an assurance that we all can have in God when we understand that truth. I thought about adding blessed assurance to our list today, but you know the song, right? You can hear it in your head right now. You know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We can have that assurance when we understand that truth. Isaiah, again, repeats the psalmist's thoughts in Isaiah 14 and verse 24 when he says that the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will stand. God, again, is our Heavenly Father. He's our Creator. He's our Sustainer. And he is our Savior, and he never changes. And not everyone, though, believes that or accepts that fact, the fact that God is immutable. As a matter of fact, there are some, even Christians, who try to say that God repents or changes his mind, and therefore God is not immutable. For example, some will point out Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6, and you might recall that. That's the Noah narrative, right? Starts in 6, goes through 9. Some translations read Genesis 6:6 as God being sorry that he created the world, the pre-flood world. And, you know, when people read the word sorry, they think of it today like sorry, uh-oh, or I feel sorry for you, so I'm going to. God did not change his mind, though, or think that he had somehow made a mistake. That's not what that means, okay? The Hebrew word that's there is nakam. And while it is translated sorry in many translations, it doesn't mean sorry like uh-oh, okay? It means sorry as grieved, all right? As in grieved. You could do a word study. That's what the word really means. And so while other versions would translate nakam as relented or repented, we must remember that as a part of repentance is grief, okay? That's at the heart of repentance. Being grieved that you wrong God, so you change. Okay? And so the meaning behind the calm and the words that are translated from it is grief over a situation. And so when some translations tell us that God was sorry that he had created the pre-flood world, it simply means that God was grieved over mankind's sin. That's what it means. And while God knew that this would happen and he knew that he would be grieved when it happened, guess what? You and me would not know that God was grieved over it unless he told us so. And when you think about how important that is, that we understand the seriousness of sin and how it affects God, and how God would say, because you have sinned so great, we are going to just, you're dead. I hate to say it, but that's what happened. Only 8 people were saved. But that's the result of our sin. What does that scripture say? The wages of sin is death. Okay. Another scripture that often gets cited as an example of God changing his mind is Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. And the New International Version reads this way in that verse. When God saw what they did, speaking about the Ninevites, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. Okay, and again, the word that I read here in the NIV as compassion is actually our friendly word, nakam, again. And it can sometimes be translated compassion. You think, wait a second, sorry, grieved, compassion? Woo-hoo, this is a loaded word. Well, in some ways it is, right? Other translations will look at this and we'll translate it in this verse, repented. God repented. Whoa, 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 whoa. God did not repent as in changing his mind. He's like, well, why is that? Well, simply because the promise of God was that if Nineveh did not repent, then they would be punished. That was God's promise. And he kept that promise. Why? Because they repented. And guess what? God did not destroy them like he said he would. So that's not changing his mind. If anything, that's saying he didn't change his mind. Do you follow? I hope so. Okay. Think about us today. You know, God purposed in Christ salvation, and he made the promise to us that if we believe and are baptized, we're saved, Mark 16:16. But if we don't believe, we stand condemned. That's elsewhere in the scripture. So God never changes his mind about your salvation. It is your decision, and God promised that if you act in a certain way, you'll be saved. And he promised that if you act in a certain way, you won't. God never changes, okay? It's up to us to change our minds, to make the decision to trust and obey. In the end, it's important to understand that while God does have different aspects of his personality and his plans and his promises, God does not change. And that's the truth. And it's a truth that should mean something to you and me. I mean, because think about it, how could we ever really get to know God if he changed all the time? It'd be impossible to really know and follow him. You'd open up the Bible and something was, wait a second, God, wait, what? God does this now? No. It's impossible. What about being able to trust God? How could we trust him if he kept changing his promises and his word and his purposes? Well, God says you need to do that. Oh, wait, no, God changed his mind. What do you mean God changed his mind? Now, could you trust somebody who did that all the time? Usually when someone does it all the time, we think that there might be a little problem, okay? You know? But you can't really have a proper relationship with someone like that who is constantly changing their mind about things and their actions toward you or their attitudes toward you. How could you have a decent relationship with that person? It seems to me, you know, as an individual, you're not going to open up your heart and share your feelings or your weaknesses and tell a person, someone a secret and trust them if they can't even keep a promise, if they can't even be consistent in the way they live. How could you share something personal and intimate with them if you can't be sure they're going to be sympathetic one minute or judgmental or disinterested the other? That's not the type of person you have a close relationship with. Someone who changes like that is hard, if not impossible, to have a stable relationship with. That's the person you see at the deli counter. That's not the person you live with, all right? Of course, if that's the person you see at the deli counter, I don't know if I'd buy anything from them either. It's like, have a half a pound of that roast beef. Well, today I'm going to give you a pound. Next week I'm going to give you a quarter pound. Oh, this, I'll charge you twice. You can't do that. God never changes. I'm thinking about roast beef sandwiches now. That's terrible. Anyway, God never changes. Multi-grain bread, some mustard, some nice cheddar jack cheese. And so anyway, but we can trust God because he doesn't change. All right? We can trust God because he does not change. Because we know how God is going to act. Because we know how God is going to receive us. So we can come to him with our personal, intimate lives. And most importantly, we can trust him with our very souls. And because of that, we worship him, we serve him, and we pray to him. And that's something that we need to talk about as we talk about the immutable nature of God, right? But you see, God never gets tired of us coming to him in prayer. As a matter of fact, he has invited us to come to him in prayer. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, the Lord says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And Jesus himself told us in Matthew 7:7, to ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And one more, and this again is back in the Psalms where David wrote in Psalm 34 and verse 15, that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. And so God hears us when we pray. God listens to our prayers. And since God is immutable, God does not change. You think, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Well, then why pray? What I mean is, you know, what sense is there in praying to an unchangeable God? After all, hasn't he already made up his mind about what he's going to do? Can our prayers change anything? Well, we know for a fact that prayer does change things because God has told us that he does. And guess what? If God says that it does, then he promised it and God doesn't change. So God will respond to our prayers. And things do change because of prayer. Why again? Because God promised it. He doesn't change. Think about it again. What God has decided is that he will take certain actions and provide certain benefits and give certain blessings when we come to him in prayer. But be realistic, okay? You can't go expecting, God, please strike that person dead. No, God's not going to answer yes to a prayer like that. You know, God, please give me a bazillion dollars. What is that? That's not according to God's will, okay? You know, but it's all a part of God's unchanging nature and promises and purposes, and that's what he's told us. We can look at James chapter 4. We've looked at this in our series in the book of James, but there in chapter 4 and verse 2, James challenges us saying, you do not have because you do not ask. And the apostle John wrote over in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15 that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will. And I'm doing this because I'm doing a virtual underline under his will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. You say, well, okay, well, again, well, how does that all fit into the immutable nature of God and what we've been talking about and how God does not change. Well, again, I think about a good way to think about this is maybe with a mother caring for a sick child. Before she tucks him into bed at night, she gives him his nightly medicine, quietly assures him that if he calls, she'll be there. She'll take care of him, you know. She's available if he needs her, right? All he has to do is call out and she'll be there. Now, she knows that he's going to cry out. He's going to do it during the night because that's been his pattern. That's the way he is. Okay. People who have had children, their kids do that. Okay. Grandchildren, it's just nature. And so when that cry comes, it does not change her mind about anything. And so she responds just like she said she would and does precisely, excuse me, what she knows would be best for him. And so if he cries out for her in the middle of the night, "Mom, I need a drink of water." He's pretty dry from coughing. So she brings him a drink of water. If he calls out in the middle of the night, "Mom, I need a pepperoni pizza." She's going to go, "No, honey, that's not good for you." Cries out, "Mom, I need a triple layer chocolate cake." Now, okay. Right. I can give some other extreme examples, but that's how it is with God, right? God answers our prayers as we request, but according to his will. And so really, if God doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. But if it's according to his will, it'll happen. So that's why God always answers our prayers, but not always yes. Sometimes it's no. That's the way God planned to answer. God promises to answer. He does answer. We have to ask. But again, God will not always answer with a yes. He'll sometimes say no. Still, he promises to answer, and he does. We might not notice it because we're expecting a yes. But what we have to understand is sometimes God answers no. And God does not change. He made promises in his word and his nature, and he does not change. And because of that truth, we can always count on him, even in prayer. And that's why the better we know him as the immutable God, the more we'll be able to trust in him and hold onto him for stability and strength when everything around us is changing and falling apart. We can hold to his unchanging hand, right? And God has given us a visible sign that he is immutable. And that sign has been stolen by some people, but it is God's. It is in the scriptures, and that is the sign of the rainbow, the covenant sign of the rainbow that God promised that he would never destroy the earth by a flood again, and he won't. But elsewhere, God has promised that the world will be destroyed by fire. And guess what? It's in God's word. God's word doesn't change. God keeps his promises, and he's immutable, so that's going to happen someday. And in response to that, we should live in certain ways, Peter writes. Right? We should live godly lives. God has kept his word. Again, he's not destroyed the earth by water after the flood. He never will. Our God is a God of his word. He always does what he has said he will do. But again, we have to understand that applies to both the blessings that God has promised and the punishments. Think about the gospel. We've been talking about this, well, in the past for a couple of times, and it's written elsewhere about how this little angel had to give John a book to read, a scroll, and it was sweet to the taste, but bitter in his stomach. And it's a reflection of the gospel message, and that's the way the gospel is, right? The gospel is bad news for those who've not believed and obeyed and dedicated their lives to Christ. And again, that's because God will not change his mind about the seriousness of sin and the lostness of sinners. The wages of sin is death. God will not change his mind about how a sinner is saved through Jesus, no matter how many times people want to try to change it. God's word is what doesn't change. People's opinions constantly change. So we need to see what God's word says. And because God's immutable nature is that way, well, then that's good news for everybody who does trust and obey, who've obeyed the gospel and are walking in faithfulness. And that's because, again, we know that God will not change his mind about saving us by his grace through our faith in Christ Jesus. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same except for God. And if we can help anybody hold to God's unchanging hand today, then obviously I would like to think we'd all love to help others to do that, right? And we know that we help people to do that by encouraging them to believe in Jesus. And once they believe in Jesus as the Son of the living God and understand that they're a sinner and need to change their life, they repent and turn to God, confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, giving him their whole life, choosing to enter into his covenant promise by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of their sins, and then coming up out of the water, being born again to live their life for him until Christ comes back again, like he promised, or we go to him, as is the natural progression of things. And so for those of us who are already Christians, we need to remember that blessed assurance that we have in Christ and keep holding to God's unchanging hand and help others to do the same. And so if there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation, as always, the encouragement is to do that while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.